Field. Crews have been combing through the debris looking for anyone who might have been injured. Florida's ban on most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy has taken effect as of today. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is up 58 points, on the NASDAQ trading 22 points lower. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what I feel is a very serious subject today. We're talking about crisis in America. How should we then live? Based on what we see, based on what is taking place, what we're witnessing today on a national level, a global level, how should Christians, conservatives, and patriots live? How should we respond? By the way, just a little footnote to this chaos that's going on the campuses. I am thankful for what our governor has done in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis. Here's a headline. University of Florida issues a perfect response after student protest breaks rules and get arrested. Not a daycare. This is dated April the 30th. It says, the University of Florida is not playing around. Multiple students, protesters, were arrested Monday for refusing to comply with the university's rules about the protest. Pro-Palestinian students have been demonstrating on the University of Florida campus in Gainesville since last Wednesday. In a statement after the arrest, UF, that's University of Florida spokesman Steve Orlando, explained the university had given the protesters ample opportunity to comply with all the rules, but they refused. Now those protesters are facing the consequences of the actions. This is not complicated, he said. University of Florida is not a daycare, and we're not going to treat protesters like children. They know the rules. They broke the rules. Now they're facing the consequences. I say amen, amen. May their tribe increase. That's what's needed across America. I believe I have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go with your question or comment, please.
Well, I think I'm jumping into the shark tank here on the discussion, but the protest on the college campuses, follow the money. George Soros is sponsoring this. These people are being paid. Steve Bannon interviewed Natalie Winters. She's an investigative reporter, and her quote was, they are Sharia supremacists. They are insurgents. They're actually being paid to protest and to organize protest across the country and all of these colleges, and anything you tolerate will proliferate, but they're actually being funded. They're being funded. I think you remember back when Trump was running for president last time. We had Antifa, we had BLM, and then after the election, where'd they go? They popped up with ready-made signs and spring-loaded protests all over the place, and then they just disappeared? That was so strange. And the camp, their protest signs, look at the bottom. It was usually a communist or socialist.org, okay, sponsorship, and you followed the money back to a George Soros type of organization, and it was tolerated and then proliferated because the Democrats are assisting it. George Soros learned early on, and by the way, he's a Hungarian-born Jew that renounced his faith and went to work for the Nazis in Nazi Germany by collecting the goods and belongings that were possessions of the Jews that had been rounded up and then slaughtered and exterminated. When he was interviewed on 60 Minutes years ago, they said, well, you know, how does that make you feel? Because you were taking the possessions and you profited. You made millions on the suffering and the death of these people, and you had their possessions. He said, well, someone had to do it. It might as well have been me. Mm-hmm. And he makes a fortune crushing people, crushing cultures, loaning money, and then pulling it back so the monetary systems will collapse. He was one of the reasons that the monetary system in Greece collapsed probably 10, 15 years ago. But he learned early on that it was better to support and promote local elections, generally for a state attorney, an attorney general, whatever you want to call it. Because he could get one of those in office and then get them not to enforce the law, to release criminals. The policemen are putting the bad guys in jail. They go through the system, like you just said a few minutes ago. They come right back out and generate more hate and discontent and more victims, because the system is now set up to overload the system and make victims of us so that we'll scream out to the government, hey, protect us, and they'll gladly protect you if you surrender some of those rights, you know, free speech and the right to keep and bear arms, and what we used to have is a 14th Amendment, I believe, secure in property and personal effects and papers. They can look at anything now, they just don't tell you. But follow the money. It's being promoted and it's being tolerated. Hey, welcome to an election year. Did I miss anything? That's where we are.
That's on target, Glenn. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Glenn. Glenn is retired law enforcement. Glenn, let me ask you some questions relating to your profession, your background for a quarter of a century. What we've seen in the college campuses and the way it's been handled, what's wrong with the picture?
What's wrong with the picture? Okay, at the risk of offending somebody, you've had people in college professor positions across the country that have taken the educational system and dumbed it down and indoctrinated these students in college, okay, to hate God, to hate the family, and to embrace Marxist communism. So you'll notice that while all this is going on college campuses, where are the faculty members? Well, they're in the break room going, look what we did. Look what we did. Okay, I think they're proud of it. I'm not saying all, but there's a lot of folks that have been in the system as college professors that are anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Jew, anti-American. Okay, when they allow these students to put up Palestinian flag or any other flag but the American flag, they have embraced the downfall of our very culture. Okay, now, the Palestinian flag is pretty much like any other of the Islamic flags. I just want to throw that out there. Same color scheme, basically a little bit different design. It's an Islamic flag. They are declaring that they're taking us, okay? And if there's not a resistance, they'll just continue to take, because the system now benefits those that are protesting, rioting is what they used to call it. But, you know, when it's the bad guys, excuse me, when it's the criminals, it's only a mostly peaceful protest, okay? Mm. Okay, if it had been an actual peaceful protest of Christians standing around or outside of an abortion clinic, they would have been rounded up and arrested immediately. I am proud that we have a governor here in the state of Florida that's taking care of business, and this is the way it's got to draw a line in the sand and say, if you do this, you're going to jail. Some years ago, when your Antifa and BLM protesters came to Jacksonville and tried to shut down bridges, they were summarily arrested quickly. They were put on notice to disperse. When they did not disperse and they were given a time limit, they were arrested, and the word went out. If you come to Jacksonville, Florida, they're going to put you in jail, and they're not going to bail you out. And so it stopped. They did have a little miniature riot downtown Jacksonville. I think it was just a few months after I retired. I went, I missed it. All these years I was on a field force training for a riot, and they actually got one, and I missed it. But it was quickly squashed. They went to jail, and then these people sent out the word, hey, Jacksonville's not messing around. Okay, don't go to Jacksonville, Florida. You need to go to D.C. You need to go to Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland. You need to go to Portland, Oregon, these other places where the Democrats will just let you do whatever you want. So at least we've got that going for us in Florida. Unfortunately, we do have folks moving from the other states to come to, you know, a secure state, and then they bring the mindset, what do you call it, the lax liberal, lost, loose line.
Loose lax, lost liberals.
We'll just call it a mental illness, because they'll take what's good, bring that mindset, and mess it up, and that's a problem.
Well, Glenn, I just looked at some statistical data, and what the average citizen does not know, has not heard, Marxist media has not propagated any information about it, is that for the past 3 years with the Biden administration, he has flown hundreds of thousands of the Islamic jihadists across America, dispersed them in several states, state of Florida being one. In the Miami, South Florida area, according to the statistical data, 90,000 have been unloaded in South Florida. And the whole focus is, what will we do with that? In fact, one of the articles that I've gotten, the Biden White House now considering bringing the Palestinians to the United States and counting them as refugees and giving them green cards. Those so-called Palestinians out of Gaza that were no less than Hamas, which are no less than Islamic jihadists. Now, the Biden administration is making it known. I've got a 3-page article on it. It's frightening that he's going to bring them to America and set them up. This article says the document shows senior officials across several federal U.S. agencies have discussed the practicality of differing options to resettle all the Palestinians from Gaza to the United States and let their immediate families come and join them as a permanent resident in America. What are your thoughts as to the future as this is being done? Will we have more or less of the Islamic uprisings on the campuses and in the nation, in our nation? What are your thoughts?
I think it's very sad that we have elected leadership that has sold us out, and they are importing our very destruction. In the Old Testament, when the Jewish nation of Israel would turn away from God, he would send them messengers, hey, you better stop this and turn back. They call them prophets, all right? And they wouldn't listen, or they would actually kill the prophets. And then he would allow a foreign nation to invade and conquer and destroy until the people cried out to God for a deliverer. And that happened over and over and over in the Old Testament. History repeats. America is going to go through it right now. It's going through it right now. And here's the deal. There are, I think it's 5 different sects of Islam, S-E-C-T-S sect, yeah. And they all hate each other. They all hate each other. Okay, the Saudi Arabians don't put up with the Iranians or the Iraqis. Okay, that's why they don't take refugees into other Muslim nations, because they don't assimilate. You have to back up and say Islam is more a political ideology than it is a religion. They do not assimilate. When they come to any other country, including America, they may get an American citizenship status, but then they import the ideals of Islam and Sharia law. It doesn't work. Sharia law and Islam, the book, the Quran, gives them permission to lie to the infidel. An infidel is any unbeliever in Allah. And Allah is not Jehovah God. And if you ask a Muslim about their God, and ask them this question, all right, do you believe in the same God of the Christians and Jews? They'll tell you no. Do you believe in Jehovah God, whose son is Jesus, the Messiah? They'll tell you no. It is a different God, okay? So when they import, and that's what's happening, they're importing their Sharia law and their ways, and their book allows them to take and pillage and destroy. They'll turn America into a third world nation, and they're on their way. So by importing more of them, so that the Biden administration, the Democratic Party, can import votes, which is what they're doing, they're importing voters. They're going to give them whatever they want. I want you to imagine, I'm not trying to compare a person to a fire ant or a bug. So I'm just making a comparison, an analogy. Would it be okay to bring shovelfuls of fire ants into your yard? Why would that be a problem? I'll tell you, they're mostly peaceful until they're not. And then they start twitching, and they start biting you, and you're like, oh, I don't like these ants. They're not mostly peaceful. How do we get rid of them? Well, unless that person becomes a Christian and gives their heart and soul to Jesus Christ and is converted, they will, by their very nature, be the ultimate evil human being, and their religion allows it. Allows it.
Absolutely. It allows deceit. It allows murder. In fact, I could sit here the balance of the day and read from the Noble Quran, as it's called, the different chapters and verses. They're called surahs in the S-U-R-A-H, the surahs in the Noble Quran, where they emphasize, kill all non-believers. That's all non-Muslims. Kill them. And I've said time and time and time again, I've repeated it in one of my books, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, and Is Islam Tolerant? 350 pages, 25 chapters, that Islam will come into a city, a county, a state, a nation, and will be dormant, docile, and will go along with the program until they get enough, anywhere from 2 to 6%, then they rise up and demand to take control. And I think that's what we're seeing today, Glenn. In fact, I'm looking at a headline, Wake Up America! Our universities are raising domestic terrorists, end quote. That's a sad, sad phenomenon to see. But Glenn, you touched on something just a moment ago, that Biden is doing this for the election, and that's exactly right. In fact, I listened with intense curiosity as some of the media yesterday and last evening used the term that what Biden is doing is the appeasement. Listen, the secular media is the appeasement of the Islamic voters in Michigan. He is appeasing them, does not want to go against them, therefore he's taking a stand against the Jewish people on these campuses and allowing it to run rampant because he is fearful for the vote. And the Islamic vote pervades in Michigan, Wisconsin, another one, I've forgotten the other state, but there's three major states that the Islamic vote is major importance to the Biden administration, what they're wanting to do. And there's no concern about it. I'm looking at headline. A Jewish girl at UCLA bludgeoned into unconsciousness just because she was a Jewish girl on the campus going to her classroom. But Glenn, let me take a moment, switch gears, because it's intriguing. You touched on the fact that Biden is doing these things for the election. One of the things that I find absolutely disingenuous on any way that you would look at it, headline, Biden locks in regulations targeting appliances owned by almost every U.S. household. The Biden administration has been gradually and now proliferating on a rapid scale of trying to control not just what we drive, where we go, what we eat, what we cook on, or what kind of light bulbs we're using, but now we need to control even further. Look at the article. The Department of Energy, the DEO, finalized regulations Tuesday for a popular appliance that will push the market toward adopting heat pump technology only. The DOE's final energy efficiency regulations for water heaters will apply to common electrical water heaters and significantly increase the share of those models. The DOE has spearheaded the Biden administration's efforts to push rules and regulations targeting appliances ranging from pools, pool pumps, motors, light bulbs, furnaces, portable generators, etc., etc. Now, we must ask the question, Glenn, why would Biden do that? Now, my position is that it will appease the climate change monsters, the Save the Planet tree huggers, and get their vote. What are your thoughts? How should we as the listeners today, how should we as Christians, conservatives today, respond? As Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? What are your thoughts and insights on that?
I think President Trump said it. He said, we will not comply. It's a trap. It's a trick. It's a baited field, and we're going to be hunted. And economically and energy-wise, okay, they're denying oil leases on federal lands now. We're importing oil that's pumped out of the ground in America, sold overseas. In fact, under the Biden administration, and I think started probably in the Obama administration, they were selling our oil reserves to other countries. We sold it down, way down. In fact, we sold a lot of oil to China. Think about that for a minute. All right. During the Trump administration, when oil had reached a rock bottom price, he actually was pushing to restock and restore our oil reserves because oil was cheap. He was trying to push it through, and our own elected representatives, they said, no, we can't afford to do that. Oh, well, we can print money and give it to the Ukraine. We can print money. And by the way, every time you make more currency, it's not money. Currency is a piece of paper you agree has value. It's a coupon. But when you keep printing it into oblivion, you actually are creating inflation. You're stealing money. You're stealing value from the American people, and you gave it away for political favoritism. You have to understand that. Nazi Germany went through this, and Hitler printed the Dutch mark into oblivion, so much so it was cheaper to burn it as firewood than it was to buy firewood. We're about there. But as far as the pushing the climate control, the climate agenda, and regulating appliances, they're putting people in a position that when they turn the lights off, you're stuck. You're stuck if you don't have a backup plan, and that's why they want 15-minute cities. They want you in close so they can control you. How did that work out in Shanghai, China during COVID? They locked them in and let them starve to death. They weren't even allowed to leave. They killed them. History is repeating with a twist. If you're familiar with Mao in China during the 50s and 60s, the Great Leap Forward, where he was having all of his people work together. It was a communist nation, and they were all working together, and they were building things. In fact, they had tens of millions of people die. They had a mass famine because they were overworking the land, okay, and trying to build. They had tens of millions of people die. Mao kind of lost favor there for a little while, and then one day he went for a swim because he needed, I don't know if you know this or not, he needed a public relations new beginning. And he appealed to the young masses, those in college. Those college students saw him as young and virile, and they actually said they gave their heart and souls to him because he was the future. And they all supported this little red book, okay? And it was the rules. And the new rules were to do away with the old culture and to crush all the old things, all the old ways. The four olds, they called it the old culture, the old ideology, the old customs, and old traditions. And they actually ratted out their professors. Anyone who actually taught real history was then tortured or in prison. And it was the young people, the college students, doing this.
We're on the fast track for that today. Glenn, hold your thought for a moment. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please. Oh, we lost Lily, okay. Glenn, one of the things, we've got just a few minutes left. I want to jump to another issue that's promulgated now out of the Biden administration that I think is very detrimental to America. At this very moment, I'm looking at a headline. U.S. is poised to ease all restrictions on marijuana and a historic shift. U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration will move to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug, a historic shift to generations of American drug policy that have wide ripple effects across our country today. The Associated Press has learned a historic shift to the generations of American drug policy that have been across America for these decades. Today, the Attorney General circulated a proposal to reclassify marijuana from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2. You have a law enforcement background. What will that do to our nation, and how will that play out in family situations and homes and funding, et cetera, in your view?
Well, go to Florida State Statute. I think it's 893.13. It covers the controlled substances and the different schedules, and they're on different schedules because there's different effects and different dangers. Marijuana, with the THC level that it's in now, your hydroponic marijuana or weed, whatever you want to call it, is like 10 or 20 times more powerful than anything that the hippies smoked in the 60s and 70s. And it has a cumulative psychotropic effect, I believe they call it. It makes them super paranoid, and it makes them put themselves in a position of not being able to make rational decisions long term. Imagine making this legal so that your constituents are all under the influence, okay? Not only is it going to make them too lazy to work, okay, you can absolutely control them. One other thing, it's a trap. If you check the box on your background check for a firearm that you're using a controlled substance, guess what you're not going to get? A firearm. It's a trap, okay? And like, oh, we can smoke weed now. It's legal. Congratulations. You can't have a firearm. Uh-oh. You didn't see that one coming, did you?
Mm-hmm.
It will destroy families, and the children of those that have been using marijuana and they had offspring, and then in a household where they were using marijuana, it says they're more prone to not making good decisions, more prone to taking risky behavior, and more likely to be arrested for breaking the law. Are we picking on any particular group? Yeah. The people who smoke weed and are around those that are smoking marijuana, okay, there's a good chance you're going to jail. How's that education going to go? How's that job search going to go? You're going to be dependent on the government for that handout. And that's what this government system wants. It wants a whole group of servants. It doesn't want anybody to succeed. It just wants you to do what you're told.
That's the bottom line. But the front gate of that is, at this juncture, Biden is appeasing those that have college loans. He's saying we're going to wipe out the college loan. I've forgotten how many billions of dollars that it's going to take from taxpayers' money. He's appeasing the Islamic jihadist in order to get the votes of the Islamic jihadist in America. He's appeasing the young kiddos, if you will, those that are brainwashed airheads and weaponizing that mindset to get their votes by saying, okay, you want to smoke pot, we're going to give you, make it legal so you can smoke pot. But Glenn, I've done the research on Colorado, for example, went into the legalized recreational marijuana. All crimes have gone up 547%. Homes have been destroyed. Families have found spousal abuse. Divorce has become rampant. Murder, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All crimes gone up 547%. From a law enforcement background, can you see that as the potential for America? And now that coming up on the November ballot for the state of Florida to vote, can you see that as being a major, major, major economic destruction, a destructive factor for our homes and our families in America and in the state of Florida if that is passed in Florida and now with what Biden is doing? And it's all to get votes. So how should we then live? We've got about a minute, Glenn. Take this time, wrap up for us, encouraging our listeners how we should then live based on what we see, based on what we hear. What should the Christians, conservatives, and the patriots do?
Educate yourselves. Don't turn on the evening news and think you're going to get any smattering of the truth. They're telling you what they want you to hear, what they want you to know, and that controls how you think. Information is very powerful, and words mean things. If you're in search of the truth and seeking the truth, you'd be in the Bible. You'd be reading the truth, and you'd make a commitment to God and Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father in heaven except by Him. Second Chronicles chapter 7, at verse 14, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The only hope is God's salvation. We're not going to be able to fix this. We need divine intervention. And if Christians aren't praying and if Christians aren't studying the truth and educating themselves of the truth of what's going on around us, you don't even know how to vote. How do you vote for someone? You just multiple guess? Nobody studied for the test? You better vote.
That's right, Glenn. Glenn, thank you for taking time to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University.